Hello and welcome to your first of a new series of IWA podcasts, where we bring together some of the keenest observers of Welsh politics for their analysis of the latest events. I'm Jess Blair, policy analyst for the IWA, and I'm joined by our regular panel, IWA Director Lee Waters, Cathy Owen, Director of Darren, and Darren Hill, MD of Positive. The last 2 weeks have seen growing tensions within the two main unionist parties in Wales. Is this a clash of personalities, or is there something more at work?
My view is that there is something more at work, and it's often easier to look at things via personalities, but there are deeper problems at the heart of the two political parties, and those problems are problems of division. And I think what's been most comedic about the last week or so is the way at different times the Conservatives certainly tried to pretend there isn't a division, only for everyone who's part of the different sides of the division to admit 2 days later there is a division. One of the big consequences of the Conservatives doing what they did is that the focus has been taken off Labour completely. Harold Wilson said, a week is a long time in politics, and you roll back a week earlier and the bigger focus was on Labour because they're as divided and as confused on this profound issue.
I think the difference is that Labour have been more self-disciplined. I think they have a leader in Caroline Jones, who clearly being in power gives them a great deal of security, but also is a leader who is in command of his party. In a sense, both the Conservatives and Labour have nowhere else to go but to stick with the leaders they've got. But I think Labour recognise that, and the Conservatives don't seem to. I seem amazed by the lack of forethought by those plotting within the Welsh Conservatives, and I think the hand of David Jones is very plain to be seen in all of this, but they don't seem to think of what they'll do if they manage to force Andrew R.T. Davis out, which clearly a number of them are trying to do.
I think also there's an element of being in near perpetual opposition. I think managing a group where you are unlikely to get into government anytime soon must be quite tricky, and they've had to do that mostly over the last 15 years. I think that leads to a different way of working within the group, and I think it leads to some unfortunate excess in terms of personalities. But then, you know, Andrew R.T. Davis sort of had this row with the previous leader, and the previous leader had a row with his previous leader. So I think every few years, these sorts of issues will come about, and as you say, Lee, because the Welsh Labour group have been in power for so long, and there's an expectation of power in Westminster, they're just a bit more self-disciplined about it. But there's also a better relationship between Owen Smith and Cameron than there were, let's say, with previous First Ministers and Secretaries of State or Shadow Secretaries of State in the Labour Party.
I think you make an interesting point about this phenomenon repeatedly rearing its head, and it was particularly pronounced in the last Assembly, where on two occasions there were resignations from the Conservative Shadow Cabinet. Firstly, John Morgan and William Graham. Certainly he didn't do William Graham's career any harm, incidentally, he always seems to survive everything. But later, Andrew himself resigned within 6 months of an Assembly election in the most bizarre fashion. So there seems to be a bit of a track history there. And I think part of that is because they don't have to have the discipline of being an alternative government down here. It allows them a little more space. But having said that, they do have to have the discipline around the UK government. And that, I think, is where the real fault line has opened up this time, and why this time is a bit different from previous problems on the Conservative front bench, in that the grassroots in significant numbers are extremely unhappy with the situation as it's manifested itself over the last week. Now, Andrew didn't find that level of support when he left the Shadow Cabinet because nobody could work out really where he'd gone. John Morgan didn't find that level of support amongst the grassroots when he left the Shadow Cabinet because of the circumstances in which he went and clearly what he was up to. But this is different because this time it's Andrew's call, it's the group leader's call, and the reverberations of that and choosing to take disciplinary action over a defence of the UK government policy, which is the way a number of the grassroots are perceiving this, not about the personality struggle at any other level of the party, it's about a loyalty question. And that has opened up a bigger, long-term problem for them in Wales.
And yet, they've managed to rebel and distinguish themselves from UK government on a number of other issues. For example, the new passport office, and just one, without provoking any of those loyalty questions. There's something more at play here. And I think it's partly about where people's focus are. And you see this in all the parties. And I think, increasingly, the divisions in Welsh politics are not between the parties at the Welsh level, but between people in the parties, between the Welsh level and UK level. I think that's an increasing trend in Welsh politics. And you look at some of the people who are unhappy in the Welsh Conservative groups, and they are people, by and large, who've got their eye on London and haven't got their eye on Cardiff Bay. And it's interesting that Byron Davis, who was the rebel who's not yet spoken publicly, and there's some speculation he may yet still resign, but I suspect the fact he hasn't done so yet means he probably won't, but he's equally unhappy, and he's not insignificantly a Westminster general election candidate.
But I also think that it's a bigger point of where the unhappiness lies. So if you look back at the leadership campaign between Andrew Arty Davis and Nick Ramsay was branded the more Assembly-friendly character, the more less Devo-sceptical. Andrew stood on a platform which was, we're too cosy down in the bay, I want to smash the windows, I think was the phrase he used. But actually, in terms of where he now, and he won partly on that basis, but actually in terms of where he now sits and what he's now saying, he's appearing to be even more Devo-friendly than Nick Bowen was at certain times. And I think that that has caused a reverberation through his party at the grassroots as well.
It's always been interesting to go to Conservative Party conferences when you realise that the Welsh leader is the fourth or fifth most important person there. They've never really got to grips with that. There was never a huge amount of love for Nick Bourne within the grassroots, and Andrew Arty Davis made quite a lot of that, and he's just, as you say, in that position of possibly recreating that.
I think 2 points on that. One is that Andrew Arty has been very explicit in making the point that he and David Cameron are the ones who have been elected directly and have a mandate, and David Jones doesn't. And that was a point reinforced yesterday by David Cameron when he came down to look at the floods in Pembrokeshire. He endorsed Andrew Arty Davis in that sense, within terms of picking sides. Just to go back to Darren's point, you know, that is true about the position Andrew Arty Davis took. You know, conversely, Nick Ramsay took the more pro-devolution stance, and now he seems to try and engineer himself on the sceptical wing of this argument, which is a perverse paradox for him to try and argue, which, you know, does, I think, has caused a lot of ill feeling within the group and is not going to reflect well on Nick Ramsay in the medium term.
Well, I think that there probably is an impact there, certainly, in terms of how the dynamic works in the group. But let's look at this issue. This issue is, one, about the possible devolution of income tax, which may or may not happen, and the form that might take some years hence once that referendum has happened. It is a much less immediate constitutional point than some of the others that have faced people, which I think perhaps explains why lots of people, looking at both Labour and the Conservatives over the last couple of weeks, have just been scratching their heads. Because moving this from a hypothetical position into a reality, and that hugely technical issue, it isn't an easy business. For all we know, none of this may ever come to pass. It may never come to pass.
Which is why this is about proxies. It's not really about that. And I've got a piece up on Click on Wales today giving my arguments why it's not about that. But I think that we haven't heard the last of this. This has thrown open clearly a simmering tension within the Conservatives, which, as Darren rightly says, also exists within the Labour Party, which is going to come to define, I think, the next couple of years of Welsh debate.
So let's go back to Labour then. In polls released this week, 43% of people think Welsh Government are doing a very bad job when it comes to the health system. People aren't happy with education, people aren't happy with economy. Why are polls showing that Labour are going to have exactly the same number of seats in the next election?
Well, I think, Carolyn Jones and the Welsh Labour Party have got quite a difficult job on their hands to keep the same number of seats at the next election, the next Assembly election in 2016, given that by then the Labour Party will have been in power in the Assembly for some 17 years. It would have been quite a difficult argument to make anyway. And I think if, you know, the issues around delivery in health and education have cut through to the public, you know, people are reading headlines about crises even though they don't necessarily feel it on their doorstep every day. So they are going to have quite a difficult time in the run-up to the 2016 election. And these polls are interesting in that they reflect there is still a general understanding of we would rather have a Labour in power here whilst the Conservatives are in government in London. You know, that might change to 2015, who knows?
I think what's interesting is John Humphrey's report on Newsnight this week, which I thought was hackneyed and cliched and tired. But nonetheless, what he's going to show, you know, his essential case was devolution has failed, education is the tangible demonstration of that failure, and so how on earth can you ask for more powers? And we've heard this increasingly from the Conservatives in Westminster, not an unreasonable argument. If you want to know what Labour government looks like, look at Wales, where in health, education and the economy, things are slipping backwards. And I think that's a drumbeat we're going to hear far more of in the run-up to the next general election, which will drown out the cause they're going to get in the Silk Commission Part 2 report, which is due out in the next couple of weeks. Because there is, to me, a contradiction in the public attitude. Consistently over the last 7 years, people have said they view the performance of the Welsh Government as poor, and yet, in terms of where they want levels of power exercised on the whole range of domestic issues, they still want it exercised by the Welsh Government. And it's not unreasonable for opposition parties to turn around in despair and say, well, it seems that Labour can do what the hell it likes. It can perform appallingly, and people will still vote for them. And I think, you know, that's deepening the sense of depression and despair, which is reinforced by the length of the Assembly terms. This does feel like a long mid-period now of stagnation in Welsh politics. But I think it's a theme the Conservatives at Westminster are going to pick up on more and more.
But I think that Cameron Jones has recognised some of these issues, but it's whether he's going to do anything about it, I think, is the big issue. He's made some small changes around his team in terms of communications. He knows he's got a really difficult communications job anyway in terms of trying to diffuse some of the issues around delivery in health and education. They need to focus much more heavily on that. I think they know that. Are they going to do anything about it? That's what we need to see in coming months.
Well, I must say the sign so far in terms of the response to the Williams Commission report on reform and public services isn't very encouraging. If he was going to do something, this would have been a chance to do something, and it seems to be falling apart.
And what I will say in Cameron's favour, I think there's been more of an emphasis on delivery since he became leader than there was previously. I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing now were actually caused in the first 10 years of devolution, and partly because there was too much money swishing around in the system. The amount of money the Welsh Government got between 1999 and 2010 doubled. Therefore, you didn't have to solve any problems. You didn't even have to look at outcomes. You just have to throw more money at situations. And I think we're reaping the consequences of that now, because not enough structural change, not enough emphasis on delivery happened in those first 10 years. In terms of how Labour now performs, the other key factor here, of course, is the opposition simply cannot work together. The Lib Dems and Plaid Cymru can work together on certain issues, like the budget round last year, and that was a really clever move. But you cannot, I'm sure any of us, none of us can, envisage a situation where the opposition parties in the Assembly can present an alternative government, a new rainbow, in the same way that in 2007 almost manifests itself.
I agree, and I think that all depends on Leanne Wood's leadership. Whilst Leanne Wood is leader, that rainbow is off the table. So it'll be sort of mid-term, sort of after the next election, when some of the people in Plaid Cymru will start sort of exercising around if we are going to get rid of this Labour hegemony, in a sense, we're going to challenge here. It's going to have to be in a rainbow. We will need a different leader to establish that relationship.
Well, thank you for that. On that note, we'll finish for this week. Join us in 2 weeks' time when we'll probably be discussing Silk's recommendations.